The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Chicago Line is brought to you by Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Burger King, Carrie's Fabrum Store, Combined with Agriculture Marine Resources, Prince Masters, the Progressive Liberal Party, RF Bank and Trust, Ron's Electric Motors, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, and Wendy's.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Line, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, Monday, Thursday afternoon in the Easter tradition. Happy Easter, everybody. Tomorrow is Good Friday. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are going to be the same, 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. If you are calling from the Family of Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-50. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. Yesterday, a friend of mine in the U.S. asked me when I thought the election would be. This was before the announcement. Well, was it the day before yesterday? Anyways, it was before election. And so I said to them, well, it's going to be in May, and it's going to be before mid-May. So they asked me, how did I arrive at that? And by the way, I said it'll probably be on the 12th. So why did you say that? Why do you say that? And so I said, well, the PLP actually booked a candidate for an interview on the 4th of May. I didn't see, and I tend to think that the elections get called on Tuesdays. And so I didn't see the candidate coming on the day before and then there being an election the day after. So I said, wouldn't be the 5th. And because the government is going to present the government, whoever's the government, the budget, the new fiscal budget, and has to do that by the last Wednesday in May, this is according to law now, I said, well, it isn't likely they're going to go closer, too close to that time, at least need a couple of weeks to properly prepare that budget. And so that really only left you were toying with 12 or 19th, and I thought the 12th would be the most convenient time to do it. As it turns out, as announced, that election will be on May 12th, that he will advise the Governor General to dissolve the Parliament on April 8th. That's just after Easter. And so what does that mean? Well, the House is paroled. So there's no more business, no more agenda of the House to be had. Not right now. But the House can still go back in session, technically speaking, if the Prime Minister so desires. But that would then mean it's coming back for a new session. That's highly unlikely, and so we can rule that out. But technically speaking, the House still has members of Parliament. On the day when the House is dissolved, every seat in the House of Assembly becomes vacant. So there is no more member of Parliament. There is no constituency in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas will have a seat. And that is the reason why the Governor General would have been asked by the Prime Minister to to send out a writ of return, so prompting a general election so that the return officer would go ahead then and conduct polls of you, the public, asking you, who would you like to be the members of parliament in the vacated constituency when the House resumes again? And there will be a date determined for that. And so the Governor General would say to the returning officer in that returns as within 90 days. Well, he got more time than that, less time than that, because we know elections are going to be on May 16th. And so on that day when the House is dissolved, you should expect that the commissioner of the police will read that proclamation by the Governor General, and the official election season will commence. And that will mean something for some of the activities that are taking place in the House of Assembly. I mean, in the country today, right? I mean, of course, we know that there's going to be nomination day. That or two will be announced, where the candidates will have to formally announce, register as candidates in the upcoming election. They will have to have the requisite forms filled out. Those are forms that are prescribed in the Parliamentary Elections Act. And those forms would include the nomination forms, and those nomination forms will have to have a requisite number and eligible persons residing in the particular constituency to have participated in their nomination papers by signing them their names to that nomination papers, by the way, which is verified by the it's either the presiding or returning officer. One of those have to, the presiding officer, I think, has to verify that so that they get duly nominated. They have to check the eligibility as citizens of the country and all that kind of stuff. Eventually, too, there has to be the submission of assets and liabilities and the like. And I want you to know that political parties don't leave that to chance. Political parties aren't going to have you embarrass them. They're not going to have you be solely responsible for, and this is a difference sometimes between political parties and independent persons. They're not going to leave you solely responsible for your nomination, because the last thing they want to have happen is that the nominations are closed and all of a sudden, oh, you didn't submit this, you didn't submit that. Oh, you didn't submit the right number of names. Oh, the people whose names on there weren't eligible to vote, and so forth and so forth. No, sorry, Bob. They're getting people to help you with that, especially if you're a new candidate. And they're going to help you with your declaration to make sure that that's in appropriate order, because, again, all these things can not only be disqualifying, it can be embarrassing if they aren't properly done and you lose a seat simply because of a technical non-submission of something required by law, right? And all of a sudden, you got a two-man race between the FNM and the PLP, or the COI and the PLP, or the COI and the FNM, and somebody doesn't do the necessary to duly nominate, boom, and therefore the other party wins by default. You don't want that to happen. So parties take a definitive role in ensuring that all the documentation is in order. And remember, you got to do this for 41 candidates. So you're not leaving the chance any 10 or so candidates messing up, because you could lose an election just on messing up. Right? So they don't take chances on that. And so you'll have that take place. You'll have the official nomination. Of course, you know how we do nomination. You got to make an impression. So you can have your nice crowd. And you can rush out there. And you can have this or that and the next thing. So you can let people know I'm ready to win. And so forth and so forth. But I wanted to say this, though. Somebody was alluding to something that happened in Bimini, where they were talking about the offer of monies to be on an account at a numbers house and that kind of stuff being made by a candidate. And said on the radio, actually it was, I think Steve McKinney, I heard a recording. And he said that that's illegal. It's not illegal now. It's not illegal, unless it's illegal in some other way. If you're the owner of a numbers house and you give somebody a $200 allowance and so forth to numbers in your house, your legal house, I don't know that that's illegal. But I think the suggestion was to be vote, because it was put in the context of vote buying, and they said it was illegal. Well, it ain't illegal today. But when you see that writ is presented, and an election campaign officially starts, all this nonsense, giving money here, giving this one bag of this, giving that one, all of that stuff is illegal. It's called treating. I offer you not today. I'm going to read the law for you. If you encourage, if you try to buy a vote, if you say to a candidate, to a voter, give me your vote and I'll buy you this. Give me your vote and I'll give you that. That's against the law. It's illegal. It might be no difference to you, the candidate, but it's illegal. If you get caught, you could be prosecuted. Now, if you say, well, I can ask them, I can send my agent out to ask them. Well, if you send your agent out to tell somebody, if you vote for this one, he, she will give you that. Who is illegal? That is absolutely illegal. Even if your agent isn't so asked by you to do it and goes out and promise somebody something on your behalf for a vote, it's illegal. The law is so extensive on the amount of ways in which you cannot induce a voter to vote. It's extensive that basically, in truth, the only reason why you should be asking a voter to vote for you is because your ideas are better than the other people's ideas. Anything else is absolute crap, nonsense, stupid, idiotic nonsense, corrupt in the Bahamas. Any other thing is absolute nonsense. So come April 8th, if you're doing that kind of thing, I hope somebody catch you, and I hope you get reported, and I hope it gets prosecuted. Now, here's the caveat. The only people could prosecute you is the government. So I want you to imagine then that you're the FNM government, you're the PLP government, your candidate gets recorded, treating, you got to prosecute. Really? That's okay. If citizens report it, if it ends up in the media, and it should end up in the media, then citizens can make up their mind about who's trying to buy votes. How small do you have to be trying to buy a vote? How small do you have to be? How terrible do you have to be? You have to try to buy a vote. You can't talk to, now mind you, on the other side of the vote buying is the voter who buy in too, you know. So you small too. And it takes two to tangle in this business. So if you're not saying to people, listen, man, with the greatest respect to you, get out of my face, don't do that. Right? You had to do that. Well, you encouraging the corruption, and you're part of the corruption, you're part of the nonsense. I didn't make it against the law, but it is against the law. And people who are seeking to be lawmakers may want to be in compliance with the law. Right? You don't want to be an overt breaker of the law and trying to be a lawmaker. I mean, of course, things could happen where, you know, you could end up, for whatever reason, not always doing whatever, but I'm saying, if you already know a thing ought to be lawful, you might not want to try and do that, especially as it relates to this most fundamental, profound exercise of democracy. You may not want to do that. So there you go. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid.
a stand, everybody.
Back AgriExpo 2026 presented by the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources, April 10th through 12th, the Gladstone Road Agriculture Center. Agriculture, our heritage, our future comes alive with the latest farming technologies, exciting cooking demonstrations and competitions, Bahamian farmers and vendors from across the islands, fun for the kids at the Kitty Quarter, nightly musical concerts, and free admission for What Feeds Our Nation. AgriExpo 2026. Let's get growing.
The following is a paid political message.
Kalani, oh, the future is brighter. Oh, vote for MacGyver, hey, 'cause she is a fighter. For you. She is a fighter.
That was a paid political message.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Create the perfect Easter basket at Carey's Fabric and Uniform Store. We've got everything you need. Fun and exciting basket stuffers for kids and teens. And if you'd like, we'll even wrap it for you. While you're here, explore our fabrics perfect for Easter outfits and prom dresses. That's Carey's Fabric and Uniform Store on Mackey Street. Call 393-0758 or 817-0758.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today on the show, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. May 12th, Tuesday, it's election day. The House will dissolve on April 8th and all seats in the House of Assembly will then be vacant. If you have not registered, if you have not transferred your registration, as a voter on by the 8th of April, you ain't got no other chance to do so. You will not be able to vote. So, as people are now seeing, trying to join some long lines, the registrar has had to make a determination that, wow, I got all these people trying to verify. Verify for what? Verification isn't to be able to be eligible to vote. Verification is to be eligible to get your biometric voter's card. So you don't need your biometric voter's card to vote in the upcoming general election. You could use your driver's license as long as you're registered. You could use your passport as long as you're registered. But if you are not now on the voter's register, if you're voting, your registration is on a constituency you no longer live in, and I've not been living in for 3 months or so, you then have to go and transfer your vote. So those are the kinds of people who need to be on the line. In particular, does not need to be on the line. Now, clearly, the parliamentary commissioner does not have the resources to be able to deal with both the verification and the voter registration issues. So the commissioner has made a determination. I'm suspending verification no more before until after the general elections. I'm only dealing with people who are trying to register to vote and people who are trying to transfer their votes and so forth. That's all I'm dealing with. That's a good decision. I mean, you could say they should have been prepared, but again, they took a smart decision to say to people, listen, you don't need a biometric card this time around. So let's not waste resources and time. Let's get everybody into who wants to vote to be able to register and do that. And so that makes good sense to do that way. I am still alarmed that a voter register with 200 plus thousand people on it already, and we still have people trying to register to vote. I can't say that I'm alarmed as in I think something's wrong, but that's really surprising. But it is as it is. Can I tell you guys something? So our elections have almost all of them, particularly the elections that have led to changes in government. So that's 92, 2002, 2007, 2012, 2017, 2021. Our elections have all of them featured a set of basic issues that dominated the elections. A set of basic issues. Anybody want to guess what they are or venture what those issues were? If you look at all the elections in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas since 1992 in particular, pre-92, but a good portion of that was a little unique and different. Even though these issues, there were some other things at play in those elections. Historic, monumental, emotional things at play. But if you look at between 92 and 2021, there were at least three, you could say four issues that dominated. So let's see if we could isolate those issues that dominated, and then let's see if there are issues still dominating in the upcoming election. So in 1992, what were the dominant issues in 1992 election? Because if you isolate those dominant issues, you will see that they played themselves out in 2002, in 2007, in 2000, and blah, blah, blah. Even though the issues may have changed in their weighting somewhat from election to election, they were still yet dominating issues. So text me, call me, tell me what you think those issues were. What were the issues? 92, in 2002, in 2007, 2012. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. So much money has been spent by all who are running in this election, along with time and effort. The human resources are at an all-time high and so much is at stake. People are prone to bend and break rules and regulations implemented for this election 2026. Well, if you are a breaker, you might be inclined to break it. It ain't automatic that the election ain't causing you to break it. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm right here, man. What's up?
Good. In relation to your question just now, we was actually calling some reference to something else, but I think two of the
you realize that almost every time you call my show, you call in reference to something else other than what we talking about.
No, I'm calling in reference to what you talk. I wanted to ask you about something else, but
I'm just quibbing you.
Oh, okay. You're messing with me. All right. So, yeah, I think one of the biggest concerns in most of those elections had to do with immigration. I think another one may have had to do with jobs. Those are the two that I can think about at this point in time. But my main concern, what I really wanted to find out from you was the issue, because I remember you saying something a little while back about if an MP or anyone comes to you talking, there's some fundamental things you need to ask them. And one of the fundamental things I needed to find out is when I heard the leader of the opposition stating that every single mother is going to get $200 a month for 2 years. And my first question was, how many single parent homes are there in the Bahamas? And if I'm not mistaken, I think the majority of the homes in the Bahamas are either by a single parent mother. And is that going to be $200 per child or $200 for, you know, for one child? These are the things that, and I'm not getting a straight answer. And I did my little math, and they're saying $15 million. I don't see how that could cost no $15 million a year if we're doing the math correct. So that's what I wanted to actually just for this. Thank you for your time.
Well, you're welcome. No problem. I can't answer the question. I think the initial something that I saw in the papers about single mothers that was something that was in the Tribune and attributed to Heather Hunt. When I heard it, I said, I don't believe that's the policy. So I said, there has to be more. I certainly would believe that any such thing would be ill-advised and ill thought of. But I have censored that it's supposed to be single parents, and it's supposed to be for new single parents. I don't know if it's per child. So those are all legitimate questions to be asked of the folks. But I certainly could see an interest in trying to support single mothers but single parents. I policy like that, that's not something I would support at all. I would expect that there has to be much more details provided before anybody might find that an acceptable policy. And I'll wait to hear some more. But in terms of what I read and saw up front, which I understand does not fully represent the policy, I would not support that. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello.
Hi. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Good afternoon, Mr. Chiwaga Lang. How are you this afternoon?
I'm okay. And yourself?
I'm okay, Mr. Chiwaga. This is what I've called for. You know, for the past 5 years, Mr. Hinfield and a lot of the FNMs, they have been moving from constituency to constituency. Now, Mr. Hinfield came into South Beach. He hasn't put a platform with what he's going to do for South Beach, sir. I haven't heard him nothing what he's going to do for South Beach. But let me say this. I'm saying this to say, from Bacchus Road being into South Beach, I want South Beach people to hear me. He's been working. Mr. Roe was working for me, came into all that water. But I say this to say, a promise is a comfort to a fool. We cannot allow these people who want to come in and want promise behemoth people $100,000 for every household and every person. You can't let behemoth people think we is a fool. But I want the behemoth people to hear me and say, we are voting for Brave Davis, two-term, and for progress. You can see the progress. You can feel the progress in this country. We had a change from after Mr. Menace take this country over. You hear me? This behemoth people need to wake up. Wake up. We are working for progress. If you see the FNM men or COI, when we're going to go backwards?
Okay, so when the FNM calls in and when the PPL, the COI calls in, I don't want to hear from nobody talking about Chiwaga, let nobody down being on his show. Okay? I gave you a full hearing. she's obviously supportive of the PLP. And, you know, so there you go. We, ladies and gentlemen, listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
At Star General, you can go gold. Comprehensive car insurance covers loss or damage from accidents, fire, theft, and third-party liability. Package gives you increased coverage for rental car and windscreen, personal accident, medical benefits, deductible waiver, and 24-hour roadside assistance where available. Our Star General Gold Package also gives you up to $2,500 for accidental damage to a rental car anywhere in the Bahamas. Go gold with Star General. Insurance made simple.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
This is definitely the time for BOMC to continue to build on the progress that we've made. There's now drone technology. There's now year-round container farming. You have hydroponics. You have aquaponics. You have precision farming. There have been record numbers of enrollments, record numbers of flat fishing certifications. We've had record enrollments in our online courses. Students from across the family of islands. Because in BOMC, we are not just cultivating produce. We're cultivating producers.
Paid for by
great news. Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery charges, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I do want to let you guys know, as the election approaches and the formal election season approaches, even though I always think I try my best to be balanced, I am going to ensure that ain't a single one of y'all trying to blame me for pushing no agenda. I have my biases, but I don't want them to be on display here. So you see, I let the lady call. She talked about Ms. Barker's role, Mr. Barker's role, and she talked about the PLP, and she pressed for, well, if somebody else calls talking something else, I got to let them talk. I got to let them talk. That's only fair. All right. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. In the 1992 election, one of the main issues we had during that time was the economy and jobs, as I did recall. Okay. All right. This text says, FNM provides details on working parent. Okay. So there's a detailed paper. So, sir, if you want to send me your WhatsApp, I can send you what they sent me. So you can get that. This text is, Mr. Lang, the word moving forward for all parties is accountability. Immigration, Grandmama Port Authority, healthcare and services, finances, Grandmama, who can present persuasively and genuinely, says that text. This text says, that PLP supporter need to wake up, shake my head, where she live, underwater. the constituency office to get her little thing. Nah, laugh out loud. Wow, y'all ain't right. Line, go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Hi, we have a call on the line? No? Okay. So what were these dominant issues election to election in the Bahamas, in particular the elections that resulted in change? We've already heard some of them. The economy, the economic circumstances of Bahamians were absolutely one of them. The economic circumstances, whether that was joblessness or slow growth or business failure or business stagnation. In all of our elections, every single one of the elections, particularly the ones that have resulted in change, the economic well-being, the economic welfare of Bahamians were at stake. And some of them, while the growth of the economy and joblessness featured heavily, so did cost of living. But cost of living didn't feature as heavily in all of them. In the 1992 elections, cost of living was an issue, and what have you. But for almost, for not almost, for all of them, in one form or the other, the economy was an issue. The economy wasn't growing fast enough, wasn't creating enough jobs, wasn't producing increased and improved wages for people. The government's fiscal circumstances were not very good. In 1992, the fiscal situation was so bad that the government floated, prior to 1992, the government floated a $125 million bond and could only have $25 million taken up. So you had that as an issue. Of course, in the 2012 general election, Ingram having gone through a great recession, there was a significant increase in the indebtedness of the country, the debt to GDP ratio. So that featured as an issue. So in all of these elections, the economy was an issue. Definitely the economy was an issue. The economic welfare of Bahamians was an issue. Okay. Someone said immigration. Immigration has featured prominently in maybe the last set of elections, last two, I would even venture three, but not all of them. They didn't always feature prominently in the election. Not immigration, but in these more recent ones, yes, immigration is clear, is definitely one of those issues that would have been on the table. So we know the economy is one. What's the other prominent issue that featured in our elections? You see how your context it can be a little short-sighted. You don't even remember. what was that? We know the economy, so we got the economy. Someone says, "Say good day, Mr. Lang. What's going on with the online portal?" I don't know what's going on with the online portal. What do you mean? This text says, "So good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I would like to ask the former caller to list for the public all of the progress the PLP accomplished so that undecided voters can digest it to make an educated decision. People just call to promote their parties but never list the party's accomplishments." I thought she mentioned a couple of things. I thought she did. This text is, Mr. She was talking about what happened down there in her constituency with the water flooding situation. I think I remember her mentioning that. This text is, Mr. Lang, the caller who called about Barker's role has the contract to clean Marshall Road and paint the school. Really? Why say the street lights through Silver Pines Close needed bulb for 4 years, and Mr. Roll could not do that simple thing, even though he promised me to my face. What is even worse, I paid from my pocket for 3 streetlights, and the MP cannot get a bulb change. Besides unnecessary sidewalks, nothing South Beach says, this texter. The stack says, good day, and I think the FNM policy is feasible, Chicago, and you're the best. Thank you. Well, I don't, I would have to see the details. I just know that what I saw printed was something I would not feel, I didn't think would be a supportable policy, but I subsequently learned some additional details that gave me some more comfort, right? But it isn't for me to put that to you. I know that there are more details because I inquired about it. And so, you know, you ask your questions of the candidates and so forth and get your answers. And of course, I think the FNM has some additional interviews, and so you can get some more details from them then too. This is our crime. Yes, crime featured prominently in almost all of them. Crime, yes. Immigration, this person says, education, healthcare, national debt, and corruption. Corruption, absolutely, was one of the four. So we have the economy, we have crime, and we have corruption. Those are three that featured prominently in almost all of them. In almost all of them, for sure. Healthcare didn't really rank in the numbers as I've done my research, and healthcare didn't really come up that big. But we did have economy, we did have crime, we did have corruption. There's one more that was up there that let's see if anybody gets it. This text says, Mr. Lang, the minister was advised by my career IT professionals not to roll out the biometric system due to the late system implementation and rollout process with limited time to test. Hard head make for bad soup, says that texter. This text says, I hope all contract signing ends April 8th. Brave flammed for 4 years plus and waited until election year to announce 95%. Y'all are something else. So he waited for 5 years to open the A&E trauma and ambulance section. 1 month before election, millions in unpaid bills, every department. Quality of governance has regressed. This is the most blatant lies, deceit, and lack of accountability from any administration, says that texter. This texter, y'all know why I always say, says that texter. I have had people who, me having read a text, say, oh, but I heard you say. So that's why I always say, texter. This is another text says, Lang, when will that stop giving out money for voting that will never? They don't even want campaigning reform. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking about this. Election is coming. We're going to talk about this. What were the issues? What was that last issue? So we have the economy. We have corruption. We have crime. What's the last issue you think was sitting on the top of all of these the fourth issue, sitting on the top of all of these election issues over these last several elections? We'll be back after this news.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you make it down the same
road. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Tomorrow is Good Friday. So we will be on holiday tomorrow and on holiday on Monday because Monday is Easter Monday. But so glad you could join us today. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. May 12th, Tuesday, that's the day, General Elections Day. On that day, the power that the people delegated to the parliament and to the executive, all of that power shall be returned to the people on that day. All of that power. And you will get to decide who to give that power to. That'll be your job. That'll be my job on election day. Now, in our works, is you only get to vote for a candidate. Sure, that candidate represents a party, could represent a party or be independent, sure. But here's how it works. If you don't like the candidate, but you love the leader of a party, the only way to vote for the leader of the party is you got to vote for the candidate. Right? That's how it goes. If you don't like the leader of the party, but you love the candidate, you vote for the leader of the party. If you don't like the party, but you like the candidate, if you vote for the candidate and the candidate is a part of the party, you vote for the party. If you like the party, but you don't like the candidate, if you won't vote for the party, you got to vote for the candidate. That's how our system works. If you don't like none of them, you ain't got to vote for none of them. You can't get my need to change our system. I don't like this. We won't vote for our own president directly, etc. But that ain't the system today. So don't let's beat up our jaw about that which does not exist today. Today, it is before you. Today, it is before you as it is before you. And so you only could vote for candidates. When you vote for your candidate, and if that candidate, enough of those candidates get voted in who represent a party, the governor general is going to call on the leader of that party to form a government. And where is he going to form that government from? From amongst the people who got elected in the majority. He could only put three of them inside the House of Assembly, in the Senate, and he could only put three of them in the Senate, provided the Attorney General ain't in the Senate. So he has to mostly select his cabinet, the Prime Minister or her, in this case it'd be him, from among the members in the House of Assembly in the majority. Go. That's the process. That's our system. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. So what you are saying is what is going on in Fort Charlotte isn't that wrong, helping individuals. What I am saying, I don't know what's going on in Fort Charlotte. I don't know what's going on. What I'm saying is if you are a candidate today, and you're giving out monies, whether you're asking for a vote or not, if you're giving out money to induce a vote or not, it is not illegal now under the law of treating. If you do it after April 8th, you are breaking the law. That's what I'm saying. Now, you could argue it's unethical, because why is it illegal during election time? Because inducing people to vote by giving things is... So it may not be unlawful today. It's unethical today to be trying to bribe people for a vote. It's unethical. It's not unlawful. It's unethical. Okay? in the Bahamas, unless you lie to an official, lying ain't illegal, you know. Unless you lie to an official. You could lie to me and I can't go and tell the police, lock you up for lying. That's not illegal. You go lie to the court. That's a different story. So everything that's illegal isn't immoral, and everything that's immoral ain't illegal. So it is unethical to be bribing people for vote today. It is unlawful to do that on April 8th and after, between the election. This text says, Mr. Lang, why is it so hard for MPs to maintain and upgrade their constituency? Let me tell you why. Because you shouldn't be looking to your MP to upgrade and maintain. So that bad is on you. That's on you. Because you think they should be doing that. That's not their job. That's not why they're hired. Go check the Constitution. It does not say when you've been elected, you should be elected to go and keep and maintain a constituency. That's not true. It's about your job is to represent your constituency in the House of Assembly. That's your job. Now, if there's something wrong in the constituency, it's an MP's responsibility to go and say to the government, listen, man, this public thing needs to be fixed. This thing needs to be fixed. If the government... Think about it. If the MP happens to be an opposition MP, you really think the government is going to be all that pressed to go do it? Really? So then you can blame the MP if it isn't done? It's not the MP's job. What you should cuss your MP for, well, don't cuss the MP, but this was I mean. What you should complain about your MP for is if MP making no effort to get the government to do what the government's job is to do. The job of the jury, including your constituency, is the cabinet of the Bahamas. Can I say that one more time for you? You guys could run around all this time blaming MPs for maintaining and upkeeping constituencies all you want. That's your, hey, listen, man, I can't stop you. I just think if you're doing that, you're ignorant, right? That's not the MP's job. The MP's job, if you want to know if your MP is working for you, check out the performance, check out what they are actually doing in the House of Assembly, whether they are actually participating, contributing, researching, and doing the necessary to pass good and sound laws for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, including laws that can help maintain a constituency. And if they're not making an effort to get things done in a constituency of a public nature that needs to be done, then you could blame them for that. You should say, but don't say, as you've asked me, why can't they upkeep and maintain a constituency? Because that's not their job. An MP's job is not to fix your road. An MP's job is not to fix your park. An MP's job is not to fix any public infrastructure. That's untrue. And it's nonsense. But they are, as leaders in that constituency, supposed to advocate for those things to be done by the people responsible for it, which is the government of the Bahamas, the cabinet of the Bahamas. That's what they're supposed to do. And government agencies of the Bahamas. That's what they're supposed to do. But carry on, if you wish, with this notion that that's their job. Can't do anything about that. I can only educate you as best I can. Okay? This text says, to pull it off hanging around his neck, which may cost him. Who is that? I don't understand. I don't know what that's about. This says, Mr. Lang, I really like how you read people's texts with replacing the words once it's decent. No shade, but the blend can learn from you. This text says immigration and or leadership. So not immigration, but the leadership. Let's look at that. This text is trust. As in the Iron Bailey trust collapse again. We can't rely on it. This text is lying. Let's say the PLP lose government and the FNM win government. If the PLP has a bill they implemented and the FNM used that bill, do you think the PLP would vote yes on that bill and the FNM wants to pass the bill? I imagine so. I imagine if it's a PLP-sponsored bill, that the PLP would support it. I don't know why they wouldn't. We've seen that happen too many times, so that they support these things, so I could see. This text says, and all the processes in the country were a mess, only 3 months to license, register your cars at the beginning of the year, only ZNS and lots of censorship. This says corruption. And again, in 2007, our international reputation was on the line. Again, after a number of high-profile Christie scandals, says that text. The fourth, so we have the economy, we had crime, we had corruption. You know what the fourth issue was? In almost all these elections, it was governance, how the leaders governed, how they formed, whether or not the public service was improving. that issue featured in almost all the elections. How the leaders governed, whether they were too dogmatic, whether they were too loose, whether they weren't decisive or not, whether they were too decisive and not consulting, whether, you know, people interacting with the public sector and things didn't seem up to scratch, or people weren't as professional as they should be, and where's the reform, and so forth and so forth. So those were the four issues that tended to prevail in dominant fashion in almost all these elections, particularly the ones in which change presented itself. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Lang, what's happening?
Right here, man. What's up?
I am quite satisfied based on how you described the duties of an MP and what they're supposed to be doing. I am quite more than satisfied that the FNM did way more than they did an excellent job as the opposition. I've heard your show where many callers call and complain that all the FNM do is complain. So that tells me they're being agitating on behalf of their constituents and the stuff that the PLP has put forward. But I call it from Grandmama. And I believe most people in Grandmama will vote against the PLP. An economic situation, number one. The lack of, progress. When the FNM left, $90 million in the bank to build a new hospital. The money was given back. The FNM left a deal on the table for the hotel and the airport. Now, we don't know if it was a good deal. We don't know if it's a bad deal. We'll never know because they nothing.
But, can I tell you something? Can I mention something to you? You know what amazes me about the deal the FNM left on the table? You said we'll never know. The FNM left the deal on the table. Why they can't tell you what the deal was?
Well, based on what the FNM said, the FNM was a three-part deal. The hotel, the airport, and the Royal Caribbean cruise port on Paradise Island. Now, the airport and the hotel was supported. I remember how Mr. Ingram cut the deal for the Alakaya? If y'all won the Alakaya, y'all gonna give us a container port? That was a somewhat deal. If y'all want Paradise Island, y'all gonna give us the airport, y'all gonna give us the hotel. They cancel the airport, cancel the hotel, but Paradise Island got their cruise port.
I thought there was some details left, but I always wondered why there wasn't just like a fulsome, here's what we left in place. I know they said they left something in place, but here's what we left in place.
Yeah, it's been articulated what they left in place and what they left in place. Again, the RCL, and the same bad deal that the Deputy Prime Minister said was a bad deal. These same people opened the cruise port in Paradise Island. The same people, part of the same deal. So if part C was a bad deal, was a good deal, then why part A and part B wasn't a good deal for the people in Grand Bahama?
Let me ask you something. Dr. Hubert Minnis was Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. You ever hear him defend that Alukaya deal?
I haven't heard Dr. Minnis defend anything much under his administration. And okay. That's the sad part about it. You as Prime Minister, you're not defending your administration.
And the PLP blasting them.
And he's sitting right there.
Not a word.
He's sitting right there. So that tells me, and that even confirmed to me that Dr. Minnis is not fit to lead the FNM, nor the country.
Thanks for calling, brother. Appreciate you calling. Thank you. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, today.
Hi, ma'am.
I like to rebut the person who said that Mr. Hinfield didn't have any plans for South Beach. Mr. Hinfield, from his arrival in South Beach, he's given out sandbags when we had the last hurricane. He cuts trees, trim trees, just as latest as Sunday gone. We cut one tree, a tree was on fire, and the lady asked him to cut the tree. The tree was cut the next day. Mr. Hinfield has been given our care packages multiple times. Just a lot of stuff that Mr. Hinfield does. And the current MP has just started doing stuff since election time.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling. We appreciate you calling. All right, we have a head caller. We're listening to you. Do we have another caller? No? Okay. This text says, good day. Can you please tell me who is the MP for the FNM in Nassau Village? You mean the candidate? I mean, hold on. I can tell you in a minute. You're going to make me wake now. Let me get it for you. I can find out. I can tell you all the candidates are that I know. I better not do that because I don't have all of the people from the COI yet. So I don't want nobody to say you ain't giving all the people names. But you asked for Nassau Village. Is Nassau Village the constituency? Yeah, that would be the FNM, but Gadvel McDonald would be the FNM's candidate, and the PLP's candidate would be Jamal Strawn. Okay? All right, we have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Z. Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, man, happy Easter, happy holidays and everything, and have a safe holidays, you and your family.
Same to you, my friend.
Yeah, I have a question, man. I know it's not a good... But the question would you ask about affecting elections, like privatizing of a telco, on and a coal, the roads them dig up, and next time for the poor, and reversing the referendum, does that have any effect on the election? I'm blessed, like you say earlier.
Like
I said earlier, but the 207,000 and register, I mean, you to see me, that's the first time ever I've seen that. And there's a rumor going around on the street, why that high, over 207,000?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that affect the election?
Yeah, but those things, those issues will come under things. So some of those, like the non-anacool will come under corruption, right? And we mentioned corruption. The selling of BTC would come under how you led and public sector reform, because remember that's a part of public sector reform. Definitely, but those things definitely mattered. They mattered in those broader categories.
Right. Good. That one would go in around now. That's serious. But why the register over 200,000? But anyhow, all right, sir.
Take care, my brother. Okay. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good day, Minister.
Hey, what's going on?
Everything cool. How you saying? Happy holidays or good, happy reason for the season, eh?
Yeah, man. Same
thing
to you.
For Jesus, huh?
Amen.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear. Thank you, Minister. Minister, listen, Minister, this... Maybe after the holidays or something, I don't know if you can get a chance to talk about it before election, but the money, what they say they're spending on consulting. I like the idea what Mr. Pintar talked about with the $200 for parents to help out with the children and stuff, single and maybe parents who married. And he say that he can use some of the money what they use it for consulting, but before we think we're getting value for this amount of money annually, would we be spending on consulting, or is that an okay question to ask, to find out? I hear them pointing out this for that and that for that. I would just wonder if we're getting value for the money. Minister, you can hear me?
Pop. Yeah, man, Papa, listen to me.
Yes, sir. Minister,
every nickel,
ask the next question when you talk.
No, I'm answering your question now.
Yeah,
we'll every
ask you
nickel.
Another question when you finish.
No problem. Every nickel and every dime spent by the government of Bahamas is your money.
Yes, sir.
You could ask the government anything you want to ask about your money.
They say you're haters and you ain't supporting the party. You ain't no good PLP when you ask questions.
But that's all right. That's all right. You can ask the government, FNM, PLP, COI, anybody, anything they do on your behalf, you have right to ask them about your business.
I think it's important for us to find out this kind of money we spend it on consulting. I don't know, ministers, right? I don't know how important everything is what they allocate the money for, but we need to. They need to go into details, and we need to find out if we're getting value for the money.
Now, Papa, before you ask your question, let me tell you something. I hear the FNM said that they're going to use some of this money from consultants. But listen. Remember now, a consultant has a contract. If you terminate a contract from a consultant that's legal, you got to pay out the consultant.
Okay.
So you don't save that money. Yes, you don't save that money.
And
you save the money going forward.
The PLP will be renewing these contracts and maybe put them for 3 years or maybe more than a year.
So if a new government comes in, this is what they will have to look at.
And you think this government right now, that if a new government come in, they got to either pay them out or keep them?
I don't know, but I know what I've seen in the past.
But Minister, I think if the consultant's doing a good job or it's something we needed, yeah. The only way we can find out if it's value for money, then we could keep or whatever. I don't think they're going to take bread or no one more or stop the country from moving on. Minister, I asked on next talk show host today, right? And they said it was unmanaged, unfair or not a good question. Or he ran as far as to say I may be stopping something from him, his blessing or money coming to him. I was wondering if it's too muddy for you to be able to answer me, to tell me, I'm not answering me, but to tell me what your view, your opinion, how it looking. It looked like the PLP could get the second term if election was called today, or it looked like we have a new incoming prime minister.
I supposed to answer a question like that, to be honest. Not now.
They said the eighth next week, everything over and everyone be normal, not an MP or whatsoever. That's the time when they park up the government cars and buy their own gas, use their personal car, and take their pictures, their wife and their children pictures out the office and stuff. When did you do it? Did you do it after you lose or before?
No, okay, good. No, remember now, I'm MP and a cabinet minister don't have to be the same thing. So as an MP, you don't have any responsibility once the House is dissolved, and as an MP. Now, if there's an emergency that the House has to be called back into session by the Governor General, then those who were MPs prior to the dissolution of the House of Assembly would become MPs again because there's an emergency requiring Parliament to be the House to be convened, Parliament. But as a cabinet minister, you remain a cabinet minister until the government is changed because you have to have government. You have to have government in the country. And so I packed up 2 days before election. I wasn't in my office about maybe 3 days or so before the election. But in terms of packing up, listen, when election was done, I ain't had to go back to that office for one lick, including the government car. Right? So that was my practice. Okay? We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, good day. How are you doing, man?
Hey, I'm right here, man. What's up?
I just want to draw a comparison here, your response after hang up. So if I'm responsible for paying my bills at home, mortgage,
yes,
light, water, cable, groceries,
yes,
right? I know that my mortgage is the most essential.
Yes.
I know that I can buy $200 worth of grocery, maybe $150. I got maybe pay $250 on the light instead of paying the $375. But it's about fiscal accountability on my end. And what I'm seeing from the government, or what is being projected from the government, is there's not responsible spending. And so I just will leave my comparison, what you say, and hear what you have to say on the tail end. All right, my brother.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you're the government of the Bahamas, you have priorities in terms of spending as well. And I would say that there is generally a list of priorities. Like you gotta pay your debts. You have to find that money. You know, you have to pay your leases and so forth and so forth. But then there's discretion that the government exercises in spending on other things. And, you know, you have to make up your mind whether you think that those discretions are being exercised wisely or not. I heard the Prime Minister asking the FNM where they was going to get the money from to fund the program that they have for parents, single parents and what have you, whether you agree with it or not. Quite frankly, if it was $14, $15, $20 million, I cannot see a Prime Minister or a Minister of Finance asking that question. Because you will recall that in the middle of a term, in the middle of a budget year, the late Obie Welshcombe announced that the government was spending $20 million canoe. $20 million, it wasn't even budgeted. All kinds of things get funded by the government of the Bahamas, FNM or PLP. that may not have been in the budget. So you do contingencies or you move money around or that kind of stuff. $14, $20 million, that ain't no money, man. $14, $20 million. You could say that in waste and pay for that. So I didn't see that as a big question. I could see questioning the policy itself, but the money, the Minnesota administration buy Alukaya for $60 million, pay half of it, $30 million. Where that money come from? It wasn't even budgeted. The Davis administration has spent money on any number of things that were not budgeted, and then later on would come around, move money, and so forth and so forth. So I didn't see that as an issue. But fiscal prioritization is something that does happen of necessity in the government. But of course, there's some discretion people make in terms of judgment, and that you have to decide. You know, we have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Lang, how you doing?
Right here, man. What's up?
Can governments, let's say, for instance, how the recent bill was passed for, I think, $280 million to borrow for the purchase of Grand Bahama Power, can that money be rediverted for another purpose if it has been already approved or will be approved for a specific purpose? If you understand what I mean. Give an example.
Yeah, I understand. I understand what you mean. What would have to happen? Is the government would have to go back to Parliament with a new resolution asking for that money to be borrowed and spent for another purpose.
Okay. So technically...
So the new government, whether it's the same administration or a new one, would have to go back to Parliament and say, you know, we withdrawing that resolution and we're presenting a new resolution for the use of that borrowing for this purpose.
Right. So the reason why I asked that question is because I wanted, you know, not only you to say what you said, but for person, because, you know, and a lot of people are saying, well, why didn't borrow that money to go and, you know, repair the airport at Grand Bahama or put it in the hotel or something of that nature? And I just wanted, you know, person, because we were having this conversation, I just wanted person to know that it ain't just that simple. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it is that simple. It is that simple because it only a decision if you're the government. I mean, but...
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, it's not that simple. In other words, as you mentioned, in the state that we... That means that he would have to literally call the House back in, and I don't think that's going to happen between now and the time of election.
Yeah, but they weren't asking him to do that now. They were asking why that wasn't the consideration first, right? Instead of having done that, why not have come to the House for monies to borrow for those other things? That's what people were asking.
Yeah, and like I said before, so even if a person's thinking that ain't even never gonna happen right now. So, but I actually see, like I said, Grand Bahama right now. You know, I don't even know how you could come to Grand Bahama now and say things, because the two most important things that Grand Bahama would have needed in the last 5 years, especially that airport, I don't know what's going on. And I'm not telling you which side I lean or which side I don't lean, but it's a disappointment.
Let me show you something though. So we have public-private partnerships for hundreds of million dollars for road projects in them. Now, listen to me now, for road projects in them that don't have no revenue stream attached to them.
Right.
You going to buy a power company that has a revenue stream. you're going to build an airport that has a revenue stream, and you can't use public-private partnership for that. You could public-private partnership to be in the public on that,
right? And that's the argument right now for a lot of Grand Bahamians to especially supporting the government to swallow, because I don't see how, I mean, how you could fumble something like those two things. It's scary right now, and I would have, every Grand Bahamian supported that aspect. Everyone, PLP, FNM, COI wanted it.
Yeah, we appreciate your calling. Thanks a lot, man. This text says, Mr. Lang, why every time when it's time for election, the concern of corruption and cheating always occurs? This concern caused Mr. Ingram to implement the ink, but it looks like some are trying to work around the ink. When will ever become an honest society so we can see God one day. This dishonesty really needs to stop. Well, God had Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel in the garden, and it didn't stop. So there you go. We have a call on. We have to go to a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your print needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Hey, Nassau, get ready for the new and bold Barbecue Crispy King at Burger King. Two 100% flame-grilled patties stacked with that irresistible onion crunch you love, smoky barbecue sauce, and melted cheddar, all on a buttery brioche bun. Mmm. Crunch, bacon, cheese, flame-grilled flavor. Swing by any of Burger King's six Nassau locations and taste the new Barbecue Crispy King today. Burger King Nassau, where taste is on fire.
New roads and airports are connecting our islands. Energy reform is bringing electricity prices down, while young Bahamians are stepping up, gaining new skills for new opportunities. Respect for workers. Support for entrepreneurs. We're modernizing energy and infrastructure across our islands and preparing Bahamians to succeed in a new economy. Transformations this big take time. Let's choose progress. Paid for by the PLP.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I understand we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. No? Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. No, we don't. All right. We have some text here. Let me read. This says, we also had a lot of corruption along with drug trafficking, and it led to the commission of inquiry as well. Yeah, well, that would be the corruption. Yeah, that's the corruption we spoke about. As a part of the those almost all the elections has some level of corruption attached to it. This text is, good afternoon, Shivago. I cannot support that $200 for the single mothers either, and was very disappointed to hear Mr. Pintard's promise for this. To do this only encourages them to have children that they cannot afford. So to take the taxpayers' money to support this slackness is not the right at all. Simply use protection if you can't afford to support the children. Right now, I'm undecided as to whether I would go out on election day, and this right here, among other things, helped me to make my decisions. Some FNMs are not going to vote simply because we're FNMs. Well, first of all, let me say that you ought to do, as an intelligent voter, the research to make sure that you understand a policy. And so that's why I said to you, if you are saying it's only single mothers, and you're wrong on that, because the policy is more extensive than that. And so you ought to go and get all of the correct information, query your folk to find out more intelligently what the issue is. Because I didn't say, I said I wouldn't support what I had seen posted in on the Tribune's website. But what I learned subsequent to that was that that's not the entirety of the policy. And so if you are interested, you should go and get the entirety of the policy. The other thing that you say, this is such a terrible false argument. You say it's going to encourage people to have babies. First of all, the people are having babies now. There is no $200 being paid, and they're having the babies now. So some people have had their babies, and you could say, oh, they were irresponsible or not. That's up to you. Say that if you want. Every single parent isn't somebody who just had a baby. Some single parents lost their husbands. Some single parents got divorced. That happens in life. Some people separate. That happens in life. To put everybody in the same category is, again, unfortunate, because it means that you're not thinking entirely about the issue. And so people do come into difficulty. The children are here. They are here. And the parent is here. No $200, mind you. No $200, but they're here. They may need some help. What do you do? What do you do? You stuck up your nose and say, oh, but I ain't never had no baby out of marriage, or I ain't never had no business, and so I shouldn't do anything. Man, come wake up. Wake up. Wake up. If God used to wait till you be good to do good things for you, none of us would have nothing done for us, because the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to get a heart. Right? Don't mix me up with your thinking on it. I wasn't thinking about it in the sense you're thinking about it. I just think that there is a better way to try to assist people, and it can't just be single mothers. And I understand that that's not the policy. Okay? But so let's be clear. Why nobody mix me up? This text says, good day, Zhivago. I think immigration will be top on the voters' mind in this election. Yeah, I think it will be higher on this election than perhaps any other election. I do agree with that. So many believe that this government has not done enough to change the narrative, that they are complicit in the influx of illegal migrants coming to our shores. In past elections, it was based on the leaders' likability. However, this time, I believe it will be the fear that our sovereignty is not being protected under this administration. I think that some of that will factor for sure. That will certainly factor. I can't say likability of the leader won't be an issue. And I can't say it was entirely the issue in times past. I think anger with the issue, particularly the leader in power, was a significant issue. And that's why I said how you led was one of the issues. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, how you doing? It's Alan Johnson. A couple of points.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, first, on the press release, the FNM program does not say single parent. It's a part initiative. And essentially it says is that the Working Parent Support Initiative will provide $200 per month in direct assistance to qualifying primary caregivers. Typically, they are mothers. But it could be grandmother who's taking care of a newborn baby. It could be a whole host of different things. But it said for individuals who are working or actively seeking employment, easing the burden of childcare and enabling families to stay engaged in the labor force. Now, right. What has happened in the past is that we've had programs where the government has actually paid full childcare for individuals in the past, right? And that was a weekly thing where they were supporting the preschools and this and those other things. So this is significantly lower than paying a weekly fee for a child to go to a school. This is assisting them to make sure they stay within the workforce or while they're seeking employment, that they can ease the burden of having some place to support the child. So
to be honest, $200 is not enough for that purpose.
That's what I'm saying. So when people look at things, we're going to pay, whether if the person does not go to work, we pay in social support and other programs, etc. If this causes them to be able to remain in the place where anyone who has a child knows, you cannot find babysitting services for $46 a week. okay, for 5 days a week while you're going to work or while you're looking. So we have to look at this in context of exactly what it is. What happens is that you have a marketing by a current government who's trying to twist the language because of a mistake in a headline in the newspaper to make this about
it ain't a government job to get your policy right. The FNM got to make sure it markets to get its policy right.
People like me that's reading, I'm saying to them, to the person, I'd be happy to send them a copy of it because it's in the public domain. But let me just answer the person about what they said. Promises are comfort to a fool. A promise is a comfort to a fool when the person making the promise does not possess the ability and the intent. If the person possesses the ability but not the intent, they're calling you a fool. If they do not possess the ability, but even though they may have the intent, but they don't possess the ability, they're calling you a fool. And so we only need to look at the promises made by the Progressive Liberal Party, 456 in the Blueprint for Change, 156 in the...
But see, Alan, what you point to right there is the issue, man. If promises are a comfort to a fool, then we shouldn't be taking promise from no one, because the only thing you could do in an election is promise people. That's the only thing you do.
No, but see, this is what I'm saying to them. Use the evaluation. Does this person have the ability and the intent? Whether the intent comes from the complete... They're saying it through the government, right? Oh, the government will have the ability to do this, even if it taxes to tax yourself. Like I say, I can tell you, hey, Tiago, like, I'm going to guarantee you, I'm going to give you $50,000, right, a year. But what I'm going to do is I have to tax it. Now, I have the ability and the intent, but do you benefit from it? And this is why you say you move that bridge, and then you now be all fools. For believing.
But I don't want nobody calling this show talking about promises is a comfort to the fool. Because the only thing you could do in an election is promise. That's the only thing you could do.
On a promise. I'm living on a promise for eternity with Christ.
No, the only exactly right. It's a promise. Thank you very much, man. Do we have another call on the line? Do we have another call on the line? No? Caller? All right, let's take our final break, pay our respects to our sponsors, and we'll be back after this final break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host.
Take a stand, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Wendy's has brand new chicken tenders,
and they're everything you've been craving.
Crispy, juicy,
and seasoned just right.
These tenders bring the flavor from the very first bite.
Dip them,
dunk them,
love them
with sauces like sweet chili,
scorching hot,
ranch,
honey barbecue,
honey mustard,
and Wendy's signature sauce.
Grab them as a kid's meal,
enjoy them on their own,
or make it a combo
that hits the spot
every time.
For tenders you're gonna know by name,
it's gotta be Wendy's.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing, Shivago?
Hey, right here, man. What's up?
Right here, man. And good afternoon to the nation. Listen, I'm so happy you spoke about that, this particular policy that you're speaking about regards to what the leader of the FNM announced, right?
this company launched regarding providing the stipend for single parents, mothers, I think he indicated, in the country.
So see, like the policy is broader than that.
Okay, however broad it is, I just want to make one or two comments on it, right? To say, realistically, in our country, the facts are that at least between 75% of households in the Bahamas are single parent or run by single parent households, right? And so the statistics are very clear on, as it relates to households in the Bahamas, who are running them in the majority in our country. I highlight that particular point to make this point, Shivago. Persons may argue against that policy, right? Who are even in a household where the among parents reside together and they are married, right? But they're in the minority, right? And so the reality is, anything that is pronounced by a political party that is taken seriously in this country, right? And that can be found to be believable by the majority of people in this country, will gain the interest of people in the country. And so wisdom would therefore tell you, it would to come across nationally as though you are not in support of a policy that is going to make life easier for the majority of persons in the country who perhaps are struggling the most, right? Because to be seen as the party or as the individual who is against that, you would not be seen privately in the homes of those individuals who are in the majority, being single parents. You would not be seen positively.
Yeah. Give me a second issue because I have some other callers on the line. Go ahead.
Okay. Also, Chibago, as it relates to children who are born to single parents in the country, right? The government has the biggest single responsibility to put in place stopgap measures in order to provide some level of support, whether it be through social programs or otherwise, or to put in place some kind of stopgap measure that would help to better position such persons in the society. Because when you don't, those same children, they grow up 15, 20 years from now to be the persons, in a lot of instances, who fall on the bad side of society, who would cost you one way or the other. And so either the government makes the investment today or it makes the investment later on, as in Fox Hill Prison. Thank you for the opportunity.
I got you. Thanks a lot. Anton, we have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
Right here, man. What's up?
I think the top issue is going to be immigration based on what you're hearing around town. Cost of living is going to come in a close second. I see something new coming up this year as well, too, where they're talking about the age of persons who are vying to be prime minister again and who's going to be 80 and who's 75. So, it's kind of changing now, but that's what I'm hearing on the ground.
I got you, brother. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Lang. I had just a quick one point I wanted to ask you something, sir. How does incoming government affect promises made during the election? In other words, if either let's say the opposition comes in, how does it affect their promises when they get in and they see the financial situation isn't in a position where a couple of the promises that they would have made are not feasible? And how does that come off to supporters?
Yeah, it can affect them. It can affect them. And that's why parties need to be more, to be responsible and indicate that, you know, we these are things we would like to do. The timing of them may depend on resources because we need to see what the deal is when we get there, as opposed to getting there and say, oh, well, you know, we can't really move on that right now because X, Y, and Z. And so, because you ought to know that you don't really know what the state of the public finances are. You don't know. And you don't know what the cash flow is going to be.
Definitely. And how should we, as prospective voters, take what they're actually saying with a grain of sand, or should we invest heavily into what they're saying?
No, no, you should listen, because if a policy is favorable and desirable, you should want to support that policy. But you should know your own self, because you and I want things for our children. We talk to our children about going to telling them to go to college and all that kind of stuff. We also know that there are kind of constraints attached to it, but we're going to do what we can. But we also have to be able to say to them, you know, daddy and mommy can do this to the extent that we are able. So we're working on it, and so forth and so forth. So it's really being transparent with voters as you talk to them about the things you'd like to do.
And that's what I really was hitting home. I think a lot of us, those who are in leadership and those prospective leaders, should say, you know, in the event, this is what we propose to happen, but, you know, we always have to take a look at what we're going to see when we get there. I think that's the approach.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. This text is misaligned. The appearance of corruption in regards to the international sector also has to be addressed, along with the jet ski and boat tour guys, stricter monitoring and scrutiny. Okay. This text says, Mr. Lang, after the 8th, will they advise us how many persons have registered and when will we get the updated census of how many Bahamians are in the Bahamas to get the percentage? Well, I think some preliminary results of the census has already been released, so you know what the number is. It's 399,000 or something like that, so that's already out there. So you can do the percentage your own self now once you get the number from the Parliamentary Commissioner's Office. This says, good day, Mr. Lang. I don't disagree with you. I understand. Why do they get the constituency allowance? The constituency allowance is to mount little small projects in your constituency, but $150,000, $750,000 over 5 years. Ain't gonna pave your road. Ain't gonna put up no, ain't gonna do some of the substantial things people need to do for flooding and that kind of stuff. That's what they get it for, right? To do little projects, maybe upgrade a park, you know, maybe install some bathroom, something, but it's not a lot of money. $150,000 in a year? Think about the kind of projects you could do with that. Can you fix somebody's road? Can you give them a clinic? Can you give somebody in the Family Islands a dock? No, you can't. This text says, the last time you saw the MP was last election, so you think it's okay for the MP to come back asking for your vote again? Yeah, if he did his job or her job in House Assembly. Yes. Yes. You asking Zhivago Lang? Now you're asking the wrong person. Say, Lang, Joe Beth Colby Davis ain't answer Pintad yet. She say, we beat Minnis in the leadership race, still waiting on her answer. Yeah, that's true. She did say that. This says, Mr. Lang, I saw a video of Mr. Lincoln being saying that he had a death threat made on his life for $100,000. He said he feel they used that number because he said he would give the people $100,000 yearly. Mr. Lang, have you heard that voice note for the threat? Because I've been researching for days. I have not. I don't think anybody should be threatening anybody, but I have not heard it. This says, Mr. Lang, dollars on the NIB is payout for live births to mothers. It's for newborns, actually. I was going to say that to Anton. It's for newborns, too. It's for newborns. New parents. You know. Anyway, it's a good day, and I think the FNM policy is a good one. I think it's far better to build a nation rather than paying for hardened criminals. Our career-oriented young people refuse to have children, so if the help is there, it's better opportunity for increasing the population for Bahamians. Selfish ambitions are out the window. Young ladies, check yourself. Wow. This text is, with governments wasting our taxpayers' millions, I prefer some of those millions to go towards struggling families. This text says, some of the churches should be helping young mothers, perhaps even the big church on Lazaretto Road. This text says, tell C. Allen, thanks for the clarification. This text says, we can ask West End if they got what was promised in the by-election. This text says, some promises are pie in the sky and just should not be taken seriously. That's for sure. That's for sure. No question with that. But you can evaluate that yourself. This text says, Mr. Lang, for the life of me, I can't understand why people won't vote. They have no idea what their vote means. The problem, I think, is people vote for a party and not issues that affect the whole country. So they say they won't vote if they feel some anger towards the party they support. Vote is issues and not a party, and you and your country will be better off. By the way, I'm sorry. We can finish up right now, producer. Let me read this. This text came long time ago. Say, Zhivago, how far back Friday, Vet, I agree it was one that goes in the books as one of the greatest events of all time. I truly enjoyed myself from start to finish, and I agreed that everyone there had a wonderful time. You were a great host. Our professional dancer was a great instructor, and our DJ was epic. He had us on the floor, and if you sat, you felt like you were missing out. You, if not monthly, every other month, but once is not enough, as our stress levels all went away with the music and dance. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen, you all have a beautiful, beautiful Easter break. God bless you. He spares life. We'll be back with you again on this Z Live. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Have a great, great Easter holiday.